Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Brace yourselves. We are going to play one of America's fastest growing game sensation. Which story bothers you most? That's right. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a veritable slew of stories. You are going to determine which story bugs you most. You say, wait a second. How can we do this in a one-way communication? Don't you panic. You have a federal head. The one, the only, Jimmy Hicks, will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program. Sir, are you prepared for your most onerous and earnest responsibility?
Absolutely.
We know how well it went with our first federal head. My expectation bar is quite low. All right, Jimmy, here we go. You ready? Which story? You got this straight. Which story bugs you most?
I'm ready.
I got a bunch of them for you, starting with Perry Stone, Nuffstead, but nevertheless, Perry Stone, he's a discredited prosperity preacher from Tennessee who still holds a lot of sway. He has a lot of subscribers to his YouTube channel. He gets tons of views. I think he might even still be on TV, if I'm not mistaken. And he recently put people into a tither. That's right. A veritable tither regarding the subject of UFOs. As you listen to his report about UFOs, listen for the specificity of this. He got a phone call from a buddy, but he's not going to tell you who the buddy is. He's not going to tell you what his actual source is. Nevertheless, he's going to put you into a fundraising panic because that's really what's driving this. It's just another opportunity to get clicks, views, and people to send in money, which is just his MO, by getting you freaked out because there's UFO files.
And I'm not going to go into great detail.
Now, wouldn't want to do that because the reality is he doesn't have any details.
But there were a large number of pastors that had been invited to go to a certain state to hear some men in the United States government and
you know, some men in the United States government, you know, could be a postal worker, could be the dog catcher, could be a congressman, just some workers in the U.S. government. They went to a place somewhere.
And others share with them a concern that they had. And this particular man, and I'll not name him.
No, wouldn't want to do that because that would actually bring some credibility to your ridiculous reporting.
And then we may end up doing some teachings with him or having an event at his church. He has a great church.
Why don't you tell us who it is now? Why withhold this information?
But he said, Perry, what they're about to release from what we're hearing.
What we're hearing. What we're hearing about what they might release.
There's going to be a release concerning aliens and concerning unidentified flying object spacecraft that some of the people who were in the meeting were telling us as pastors.
Some of the people who were in the meeting, they were telling us, whoever that is, as pastors.
You need to prepare your people and you need to get ready to answer them for what you're about to hear being released.
That's interesting. Trying to remember the last time I heard the government being concerned about pastors to the point where they would call them into some sort of an assembly so that they could prepare them for the information so that their parishioners don't get all befuddled and confused by this. I I can't remember the last time that's never happened. Why in the world would the government want to bring pastors together to comb their people? The government is now concerned about people in what is, in this instance, everybody that's been involved in this UFO story, because Perry Stone isn't the only one. Members of NAR, the Pentecostal movements. Ooh, why just that particular group, one wonders?
And some of it has to do with crafts that have been discovered that are not allegedly a part of our planet, and the materials they're made of are not a part of our planet. Very strange reptilian-looking creatures.
Of course.
And other things that almost sound like something out of a sci-fi movie or an Orson Welles book.
Interestingly, they all do. Because they're all fictitious. These stories, like unidentified flying objects, do I believe they exist? Yes. If you actually apply the title UFO and understand it rightly, they're unidentified. Are they flying? Maybe, maybe not. It could be a reflection. It could be a sunspot. Who knows what it is? That's why they're called unidentified. Nevertheless, Perry Stone puts out this report. It's picked up by CBN, and there are people who will be concerned and frightened by this. Let's just, for a moment, entertain the idea that maybe, just maybe, there's extraterrestrial life out there someplace. Let's just say that's discovered. Why would that put anybody into a panic? Why? That shouldn't cause the Christian to lay chic freak out, which doesn't contradict the Bible. Now, the Bible does point toward that we are the only planet with life. Heavens are his, the heavens is where his throne is. The earth is his footstool. I want to say that's Psalm 100 and something or another. It indicates that we are the exclusive creation. I believe that we are. But if there are other life forms out there, yeah. And what, Jesus didn't die on a cross for our sins? Jesus didn't rise from the grave? Jesus didn't ascend into heaven? Even so, it will cause people to panic, and it will cause people to send in money to sham ministries like Perry Stone's. This isn't the only story, by the way. Oh, by the way, this is a great quote from Perry Stone, and we'll just let the quote linger in the air. He said he's been teaching about issues like this for decades, of course, but that such topics have since become mainstream. No, I don't think they're mainstream. And says he feels better that I'm not the nut anymore. That's the sound of lingering in the air. From the Christian Post, a charismatic pastor apologized Wednesday after a Republican congressman disputed his claim that he was called into a private meeting with pastors about UFOs to warn that the government is planning to claim aliens created humans and invented Christianity. The representative came out and said, nope, that's not what happened at all. I was called in to encourage a group of pastors. Here's the deets on this. This pastor who claims that this congressman was telling the pastors, look out, there's going to be a great big conspiracy bomb dropping. No, quote, I was called to encourage them, and the pastor who claimed that he did make some UFO claims said he was called in to encourage us and to thank us for the work that we were doing. Quote, from the pastor who misrepresented the congressman, in that moment, listen to this flimsy excuse, I began to state things that I've always said that is my opinion. And all it is my opinion. That when the disclosure comes out, it will be spun that the aliens have always been there and that they seeded us, that they created the first religion and all of that. I should have stopped and paused and said, this part is my opinion, but I didn't. What a sham. Alan Didio from the Christian Post, another Pentecostal pastor from North Carolina whose books and ministry focus heavily on demons, and his interpretation of the end times, wrote, "The news is true. I was brought into a private meeting with other pastors, phones off. No recordings. We were warned. Disclosure is coming, and many will be unprepared for what follows." Why the secrecy? Why is this hidden behind closed doors? If it's true, what's the big deal? What's the issue? What's the concern? And where are the details? Where are the facts, ma'am? There aren't any. It's all speculation. I got a phone call. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to give you the details, but I'm telling you, we were talking to a bunch of people, all kinds of government sort of like people who occasionally drive by government buildings. And they told us that this was going to, and get ready because the government now cares about Christians. Utter nonsense. And one can't help but wonder how much ka-ching was raised. Jimmy, we'd never stoop that low.
Don't think so.
No. I mean, we do have a matching gift campaign right now.
Yeah, we do.
We do, which you can learn more about at FortisInstitute.org/donate. But when we make up a UFO study story, to absolutely not. Might we bring up something like a conspiracy in the Vatican? No, we wouldn't do that either. The point is, if you'd like to join us during our matching gift campaign, you can do so at FortisInstitute.org/donate. We'll continue playing Which Story Is Most Irksome or something like that next on Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
No Retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Frill's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is the most important thing about playing a fictitious game called Which Story Bugs You Most?
Timing.
Thank you. This is Wretched Radio. We've only gotten through one story.
Yes, we did.
But it was kind of a Lulu. Perry Stone, the prosperity preacher, making up another story. When is somebody going to write a... Here's an idea for you. You want to be an author. You want to be a research journalist who gets to the facts and exposes a bad teaching. Well, here you go. Start writing down all of the promises that have been made, all of the predictions that have been offered by these false prophets, and put down the date where they made their claims, and then give it a year, two, three, four, five. Doesn't matter. You can go back 10 years on the internet if you want to, 20 years on the internet, and catalog all of their promises and then see when they were fulfilled. Not one, not ever. Furthermore, they typically are generalities, they're vagaries, so that they could say, well, no, I said this and it actually was fulfilled in Peru in a tiny village where they didn't have cell phones. So I'm good to go. None of it comes true. Wouldn't it be a powerful book, or at least a blog page site thing, whatever you call it, that actually revealed the charlatans? That's story number one, Jimmy. You ready for story number two?
I am.
Short-lived. I think, was it Monday? We talked about Louisiana, the circuit court.
Oh, yeah.
That you can't send abortifacients in the mail to a state where abortion is illegal. And we all cheered for about a second, because the Supreme Court has put a temporary restraining order. So in other words, they can keep sending the pills until the Supreme Court figures out what they want to do with this case. Bummer. Not unexpected. Bummer. It was Justice Alito, by the way, that had to do that. It doesn't mean that he was in favor of it. It just buys them time to sort out what they want to do. This needs to be heard. This needs to be settled, because abortions are actually up courtesy of abortifacients. And so we want this to be heard. We want this to be a federal trial or federal court ruling, because there's really no point in having a state law if it can be violated through the postal service. That's story number two, Jimmy.
Okay.
Does that one bug you?
A little bit.
Number three. Oh, you know what? I don't think I want to do this one. This is... No. We're going to do it. And I'm sorry for it. This is not a good story for little ears to hear. But I think that there is something that should stoke us as we hear this agitating story. Mom and dad, little kid shouldn't hear this for the next minute. FedEx driver kidnapped, raped, and strangled a 7-year-old girl in the back of his truck. The camera recorded all of it. The jurors, according to the New York Post, were left sobbing in their seats as footage from Athena's murder was played, and some viewers in the gallery fled from the courtroom as the horrific video cut out and the sounds of the little girl being strangled filled the room. Why share any of this? Well, the good news is, even though I would suggest to you it probably was about 2 hours and 58 minutes too long, it was a 3-hour deliberation. They found him guilty. And what are they going to do with this fellow? He's sentenced to death. Here's the problem. It will take years before that happens. Justice should be swift. Justice should be certain. God commands that murderers are executed. It was before the Mosaic Covenant, Genesis 9:6. It's in the Mosaic Covenant. It is described, I believe, in Romans chapter 13. Somebody should have a fair trial. He did. But the sentencing and the punishment should not be delayed, Ecclesiastes 8:11. Unfortunately, in this situation, for the sake of the family, it'll be dragged out. It's mandatory. Even though he was found guilty, deliberated 3 hours, it automatically goes to appeal. It has to. Why? Why? If we know we've got video of it, What more do we need here, except for clever attorneys to get involved and to confuse the issue and potentially just get the guy life in prison? This coddling of criminals that kill image bearers should be an issue that Christians are louder about, in my estimation. By the way, I was reading something. It was the listing of all of the presidents who had assassination attempts. Yeah, here it is right here. 7 U.S. presidents who survived assassination attempts. Goes back to Andrew Jackson. January 1835, it occurred during a congressional funeral procession. And by the way, that date is really worth noting because you have voices today that are saying, if we don't want modern day assassination attempts, the surefire, no pun intended, the surefire cure is we've got to tone down the rhetoric. The political discourse temperature, it's too hot. We need to bring it down. I don't disagree with that, but the reality is in 1835, while there most certainly was political sniping, that it was better than it is today, and yet there was an assassination attempt. In other words, yes, the political discourse should be more gentlemanly, but that ain't going to fix the problem. Abe Lincoln, 1861, discourse was better then too. Teddy Roosevelt, 1912, even though he got shot, he spoke for an hour. That's a dude. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1933. I did not know that. He was in Florida, delivered a speech, and a bricklayer opened fire on the vehicle, 6 rounds at a group of people. Now, Roosevelt, of course, we know didn't get harmed, but 5 other people were hit. This is why I bring it up. He was executed just over a month after the shooting. That's too long, in my estimation. Swift justice. This FedEx driver who did that abominable, wicked, tragic, horrible deed to that young girl. I don't know why he's consuming air. Story number 4, Germany is launching a blasphemy investigation into Christian YouTubers who had the audacity to say that Islam is a violent religion. That sounds pretty blasphemous to me. They also said that Islam is anti-Semitic. Yeah, it is. And history proves it. They don't just say it. They actually assault. They actually kill. That is the history. The content creators, or at least one of them, there's 2 of them, but one of them is under investigation, and they're looking into investigating the other one. It's a German law that you can't say anything that makes anybody upset about anything. That is a scary state to live in. Story number 5, Jimmy.
Okay.
Does this one bug you the most? Prominent Canadian drag queen known as the Grand Marshal of Progress found guilty of sex trafficking. 7 counts of sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. I bring that up because I didn't think that was happening, but there it is in Canada. By the way, was also reading that in Canada, I think it's over 200 churches have been burnt down. Same thing in Europe. Churches are being burned down regularly in Canada and in Europe. And the thinking behind it is even if people aren't all that religious, if it's kind of the centerpiece of a town, these are historic churches that are being burned down. What happens to that town? It gets weakened. It doesn't have a center, even if it's a fixture. It doesn't even have to be a belief system. It's just a fixture. You get rid of it, and you've got a weakened culture. Story number 5 and 6. Story number 6. I don't know if this bugs you or not, Jimmy. Are you familiar with Sam Alberry?
Yes.
Did you report that story?
I did not.
Okay, why not?
Well, I might. It is a story.
It is a story. And you want to be careful that you don't take an anecdote and stake a theological position on it. But nevertheless, this is a fellow, he's done a lot of damage. This is a man who said that he has same-sex attractions. He was the one who led the charge saying, it's okay to be gay as long as you don't act on it. He provided a third way, if you will. And wow, did evangelicals just love that, because what does it provide? An out? You don't have to be mean to anybody if you can say that there's a third way. Well, it turns out that his church, they actually knew about a relationship that he had before they called him as pastor. Nevertheless, they called him into ministry, and now it's been disclosed. Nope, he's disqualified because of whatever it is that he did with that fellow. That's the church, by the way, of Russell Moore. Don't want to pounce on this fellow, but I hope that maybe, just maybe, we can connect some dots here and put an end to this third way business. Jimmy, that's story number six. Which one? Make it snappy.
I'm going to say the FedEx driver.
Yeah.
That one's.
Yep. Government, bear the sword.
Yep.
And do it swiftly. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortas News Break, a production of Fortas Institute. The Trump Justice Department opened investigations into 36 Illinois school districts last week over LGBT indoctrination, specifically whether parents are being properly informed of their right to opt children out of gender ideology instruction, and whether schools are actually maintaining sex-segregated bathrooms and sports teams as federal law requires. The head of a civil rights division was direct about the legal foundation, saying the Supreme Court precedent leaves no doubt parents have the fundamental right to direct the upbringing and education of their children. On a related note, Mid-Vermont Christian School settled part of its lawsuit against the Vermont Principals Association for $566,000. That's the school that was banned from all state athletic competition in 2023 after forfeiting a girls' basketball game rather than put their players on the court against a biological male. The Alliance Defending Freedom is still litigating the remainder of the case. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, Democratic congressional candidate Tina Shaw, an emergency room doctor, is running on the slogan that she first took oath to do no harm, and then, in almost the same breath, endorsing puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and double mastectomies for minors. When asked directly whether children have a right to transgender healthcare, she called it, quote, a no-brainer. As she's technically correct, that no brain appears to be involved in that comment. Nebraska became the first state in the nation to implement Medicaid work requirements, recently requiring able-bodied adults between 19 and 64 to complete 80 hours of work or community service each month to maintain their coverage. The governor moved ahead of the federal January 2027 deadline with carve-outs in place for pregnant women, parents of young children, and people with disabilities. The idea that receiving government benefits might be connected to some form of contribution, now that's apparently still a radical concept in some circles. And President Trump has announced a 25% tariff on European Union cars and trucks, accusing the EU of failing to honor an existing trade agreement. EU officials pushed back, insisting a deal is a deal. The legal authority behind the move remains unsettled after the Supreme Court restricted the use of certain tariff powers earlier this year, but more American auto manufacturing plants are currently under construction than at any point in recent memory, which suggests the broader strategy is producing results regardless of where the courts ultimately land. Finally, Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson was physically steered away from a reporter mid-interview last week after being asked whether a nearby shooting had changed her thinking on her opposition to security cameras in high-crime areas. It was a yes or no question. Her staff apparently decided that no answer at all was less damaging than whatever answer she was about to give. And that wraps up today's Fortas News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortas Plus or sign up to become a Fortas Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortasInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortas News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Ephesians was written by Paul to the churches around Ephesus. It is about who Christians are and how they live. When we are in Christ, we are made alive, reconciled to God, and united with other believers in the church. If you are struggling in your walk with Christ, perhaps it is time to revisit what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you know for sure where you will go when you die?
I don't. Do I know for sure where I'm going to go when I die? No.
Bummer. This is Wretched Radio. Those were the voices of a Michael Knowles and a Matt Walsh of Daily Wire being asked by a really sharp young man. where are you going when you die? And the answer was very Roman Catholic. They don't know. We talked about this earlier this week on Wretched, and I've been kicking myself ever since because I seem to forget this on the regs. That's right, on the regs, because I'm current, I'm hip, and I'm groovy. That the issue of assurance was one of the major doctrinal issues of the Protestant Reformation. It was a massive deal. Specifically, Cardinal Robert Bellarmine, remember that name. The quote will ring in your ears. The name you might forget. At the Council of Trent, he was called, this was the Counter-Reformation. He said, the greatest of all Protestant heresies is, now the greatest, not grace, not that you don't have to go through the church, not Mariology. The greatest heresy of the Protestant church is the doctrine of assurance. Why? Because if you can be assured you're saved, you don't need the church. And guess what? You don't. Not for salvation. And that is why the Roman Catholic Church at the Council of Trent said in Session 6, Canon 16, if anyone saith that he will for certain, of an absolute and infallible certainty, have that great gift of perseverance unto the end, unless he has learned this by special revelation, let him be anathema. Don't forget that. The Roman Catholic Church, once again, thinks you, my Protestant friend, are anathema if you believe in the doctrine of assurance. The Roman Catholic Church must maintain that position. Otherwise, the sacerdotal system comes tumbling down. There's no need for it. You don't need to go to confession. You don't need to do acts of charity. You don't need to give your money. You don't need to get last rites. You don't need to get married in the church. You don't need to get baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. They must defend that doctrine. This was an article from Nine Marks titled, How the Roman Catholic Doctrine of Assurance Distorts the Conscience. And I share this because I think that there's enough helpful information in this treatise of the Roman Catholic doctrine of assurance that would help those who do struggle with assurance, who do struggle with knowing that they know. By the way, Jimmy, we're in,
Is it second? No, first Peter.
First Peter. Thank you. Thank you. It's like you're reading my mind. What does it say about women who live a quiet and gentle life with an unsaved husband? It's in verse 6 of 1 Peter 3 that you can know that you are an ancestor, a daughter of Sarah. In other words, you can know that you're a Christian. Please, if you are wobbly regarding your assurance, you want to be careful how you examine the fruit in your life, because most likely if you're wobbly kneed about the subject, it's because you do study yourself too much. Having said that, you can look at the deeds you do and glean assurance from it. Are you a faithful wife? Why? Because you're a child of God. Do you have a quiet and gentle spirit? What does that indicate? You're a child of God. Are you striving to be godly even though you trip, stumble, and fall? That would indicate you're a child of God. In other words, when you have a tendency to survey your works and to discover that you come up, you fall short. And you do. That's the reality, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So we all fall short when it comes to perfection. But that doesn't mean you can't look at some of the other works that are actually happening and go, okay, all right, good. I used to do this. Now I don't do that anymore. Okay. All right. Good. Good. That's another mark of assurance. Is it definitive? No, not necessarily. But that doesn't mean it's disqualified from consideration and being encouraged by. Let me take you to this article from Nine Marks Ministries about the Roman Catholic doctrine of assurance. They wrote, there's a world of difference between having hope for salvation and assurance of salvation. Do you remember that from Knowles and Walsh? Well, I hope. I've got to have hope. So Knowles was actually on it. It was interesting, if you remember. It took Michael Knowles about 2.5 minutes to explain why he doesn't know for sure that he's going to heaven, but that he has hope, which is a part of something that you must have if you want to go to heaven. You have to do charity. You have to do works of love. And you have to have hope. So I got hope, he explained, because that's required to go to heaven. It was such a convoluted, confusing description, mingled with a little bit of evangelical grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone language, but with layer after layer of stuff that you need to do, including having hope. So he has hope for salvation, but that is not the Christian description and definition of hope. Hope for the Christian isn't wishing, it's a verity. It's like, that's my hope. Not, oh, I hope it happens. No, my hope is that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for the forgiveness of my sins, and that because he rose again, I will rise again. That's my hope. That's my confidence. From the article, while Protestants rightly affirm the possibility of assurance, many sincere believers still struggle to experience it. And then it gives some of the reasons why. This is not an exhaustive list. This can stem from present sin. Do you have a battle with sin? And you've concluded that therefore you're not a Christian? Now, there's obviously more that needs to be discovered. But on the face of it, you should be struggling with sin. That's the whole point of Christianity. That you have sins that are increasingly being revealed to you that you seek to mortify. That is the ongoing Christian life. It could be that you lack assurance because of guilt over past sin. I think we talked about this a bit ago when it came to the Puritans. They thought that that was a really big deal. You think that those sins were so big, so bad, so egregious that they can't be forgiven. What is that? It's a theological issue. It is a low view of God. That somehow your sins, as grotesque as they may have been, are somehow greater than God's ability to forgive. When you put it in those terms, wow, that's pretty blasphemous, isn't it? To basically, even though you don't say it, you're accusing God of not being able to wash you and make you white as snow. I know you say it, but that isn't true for my sins. That should cause you to go, I don't think I want to be thinking like that. So how do you not think like that? You gain a higher view of God in all of his attributes, his might, his ability to forgive, his willingness to forgive, what he has provided for us to be forgiven. Study those things and what you will inevitably conclude more regularly until it is fixed in your noggin, my sins are forgiven. The past is gone in the eyes of God. Now, nine marks they cite that could also be an overly sensitive conscience. That it's just a little, it's tuned a little bit too high. What do you need to do to adjust that? Consistent teaching, good Bible teaching, fellowshipping with other Christians, and talking about these issues, disclosing these issues. So when you're sitting around a church, rather than talking about Saturday's game, talk about, hey, this is how I'm thinking about this issue. Do you think I've got it right? I don't think that I should ever have this thought or do this thing. Am I on the right track here? And let others help you with it. A lack of assurance doesn't mean we lack the promises of the gospel, only the full enjoyment of them. That's really helpful. If you have a testimony that says, yes, I've repented and put my trust in Jesus Christ, then you have the promise of assurance. But if you are not fully convinced of it, then you're only lacking the full enjoyment of them. And that's a helpful distinction. Just because you're not fully enjoying the fruit of your salvation doesn't mean you don't have salvation. Just because you aren't always 100% confident, that doesn't mean that you do not possess salvific faith. It just means you're not enjoying it as much. Now, this article goes on to describe how the Roman Catholic Church distorts the conscience with its work righteous system. In other words, it's a bellows that just fans the flame. And so for those dear ones that are sensitive in conscience, they've got a sinful past, don't we all? And they want to know the Lord. They want to enjoy his forgiveness. And yet anytime a system comes along and says, now, this is what you have to do. You have to go to, as Michael Knowles said, a man in a box and confess your sins. That's my impression of a bellows. Anytime that you are told, oh, you want to have assurance, you need to do acts of love. Now, we don't know how many acts that is. We don't know how wide and broad and deep those acts of love need to be, but you got to do those. Or you've got to have hope, and you got to cross your fingers on this, and you got to do acts of charity. Let's shut down that bellows so you can have assurance next on Wretched Radio.
Be honest. When's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. If your stomach tightened just a little bit, you're not alone. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. What if they get mad? What if I say something wrong? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Our resource, Terrified 2, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and He actually gave us the tools to obey it. And this resource will walk you through how to share the gospel with strangers, even family members, without needing Pepto-Bismol to get through it. You'll still be nervous, that's normal, but you'll also be equipped, and equipped beats terrified every single time. Terrified 2, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app right now on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or head to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Well, you can't judge me. Yeah, you've heard that 1,000 times. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. They demonstrate why failing to discern truth from error doesn't make you loving, it makes you dangerous. Righteous judgment isn't hateful. It's one of the most loving things you can do because it protects people from the damage of false teaching. This series even includes a free study guide. It's perfect for your family, your youth group, or just working through yourself. If you've ever been told that calling something wrong makes you the problem, this is one you'll want to watch. It's streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Finally, a good earworm. This is Wretched Radio. You get them, I get them. Songs that get stuck in your noggin that just roll around, they won't go away. Yesterday, I had a good one, Jimmy. You want to know what it was?
The Curly Shuffle.
No, that was a few days ago. I get a fresh one every day. Every single day. Something, I just hear it. I'm in the grocery store and it's like, I heard Air Supply in the grocery store. And all day long, I was all out of love. That's how that works for me. But yesterday, the hymn, His Robes for Mine, was stuck in my head.
That's a good one.
Do you know it?
No. The title.
I'm sorry.
The title sounds good, though.
Now, maybe you're asking, wait a second, Friel. I thought we were going to be talking about the Roman Catholic doctrine of assurance that distorts the conscience. We are. But as I was dealing with the earworm in my head, which was a good one, because it's still rattling around up there, I thought, ooh, you're probably not familiar with this hymn either. And I queued it up so that you can hear it, because if you lack assurance, this is the type of stuff you need to be singing. Maybe you struggle to memorize Bible verses. I don't think that means you need to abandon ship and stop trying to memorize Bible verses, but it's so easy to memorize songs. This song on so many levels is so fine. I wonder who wrote this thing. I've got it pulled up to Hymns of Grace, which I find to be just a most helpful resource. If you want to go listen to nicely produced music, like the hymns that you're, what's the melody of that hymn? Or you just want to sit and have a bunch of good hymns play one after the other? Hymns of Grace. They've got, wow, 185,000 subscribers. This particular hymn has 360,000 views. And I want to find out who wrote this thing, because it is a winner. Chris Anderson, music by Greg Habiger. This is the crew from Grace Community Church. They're called Hymns of Grace. If you struggle with assurance, you need to imbibe music like this. And just on another level, listen to how smart it is. Listen to how theologically rich it is. And that is precisely what you need if you struggle with assurance. You need to hear these truths about propitiation, that you have been vindicated because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are going to have a heart that is filled with assurance, you need to have a mind that is filled with truth.
His robes for mine, oh wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered beneath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died.
Philip.
His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine. Saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life.
Wow.
I cling to Christ and marvel at the cause. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
Beautiful, rich, helpful, encouraging.
His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won.
Wow.
I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as all his foe. He has no and left alone. I as though he embraced and welcomed home. Jesus forsaken, God is estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my own, shall be for Christ alone. Shall be for Christ alone.
That is what you need to bury in your brain to encourage you in moments of weakness. The Roman Catholic Church, they will distort your conscience. Way number one, they cause you to despair. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 1861, says mortal sin results in the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace. Mortals, Michael Knowles mentioned that. If you commit a mortal sin, well, we can't really define what that is, but if you do, then what happens? You lose grace. Results in the loss of charity and the privation of sanctifying grace. That is of the state of grace. If it is not redeemed by repentance and God's forgiveness, in other words, you doing stuff, it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom and the eternal death of hell. In other words, you fall from grace, you're out of there. That will cause anyone to be miserable. One wonders sometimes that so often the music in the Catholic Church, it seems oftentimes to be stuck in the Middle Ages, but I don't think I've ever been in a Roman Catholic Church because I wander into them whenever I'm in a new town. And oftentimes there's a service going on. The music is rarely joyful. Would you have joy? And so they've got lists of mortal sins, grave sins, and what you need to do to be unburdened from those sins. It is a sacerdotal treadmill. Martin Luther, he felt this. He was an Augustinian monk. He spent up to 6 hours a day confessing every sin. How burdensome is that? Does that sound like a joy-filled religion? Quote from Luther: my conscience could never achieve certainty, but was always in doubt and said, you have not done this correctly. You are not contrite enough. You omitted this in your confession. Therefore, the longer I tried to heal my uncertain, weak, and troubled conscience with human traditions, the more uncertain, weak, and troubled I continually made it. And that is why when he read, wait a second, we are justified. We have been propitiated through his vicarious death. You can know that you're saved, not because of the certainty of your or the firmness of your faith. No, your faith is weak and wobbly, just like mine and everybody else's, but because of the object of our faith is so certain and sure. And that's why you need to be singing his robes for mine. Number two way that the Roman Catholic Church makes you feel rotten: the denial of assurance teaches the conscience to equate good works with extra biblical ceremonies. In other words, you've got to do a bunch of stuff through the Roman Catholic Church. And they're only temporary. They will not provide a permanent solution to your wobbly need problem. It is only temporary. Number three, Rome's denial of assurance drives consciences to seek relief outside of Christ's righteousness. So you got to go do that thing. Oops, you stumbled again. Go do that thing again. Oops, you stumbled. Now you got to do this and that. And then temporarily, you're relieved until you do it again. And then you've got to go do some things again. John Bunyan, he wrote about this, grace abounding to the chief of sinners. He was finally set free. He had a troubled conscience. One day as I was passing in the field, and that too was some dashes of my conscience, fearing lest yet all was not right, suddenly the sentence fell upon my soul, your righteousness is in heaven. It is at the right hand of God. I also saw that it was not my good frame of heart that made my righteousness better, nor yet my bad frame that made my righteousness worse. For my righteousness was Jesus Christ himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you a wobbly-kneed Christian? What should you do? Oh, don't keep trying to clean yourself up. Because if you're in Christ, you have been made spotless and you can rest in that. Why? Because he gave his robes to you. You gave him your sin robe and now you are fully justified. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.